Welcome to the Money Insights Podcast, where high income earners come to learn wealth building strategies that will take them from high income to high net worth. With your hosts, financial and wealth building experts, Christian Allen and Rod Zabriskie.
Welcome into today's episode of the Money Insights Podcast. I'm Christian Allen with my co-host. You know him as Rod the Pod Zabriskie. Rod, what's up, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. Spring has sprung. I think by the time this is released, spring will have sprung everywhere. At least I'm hoping.
Good. And
I'm hoping.
And everyone, and we need a good weather update.
Yeah.
That's why people listen to podcasts, because they're like, you know what? I need to figure out what these guys are doing from a weather standpoint, first and foremost.
Yeah.
But now we've got that out of the way, Rod. I'm excited today because we're going to be talking about a subject that was inspired by yesterday's live webinar with our friend Joe Camberato, who talked about business financing. So the title of today's podcast episode is Business Financing, the Rise of Private Lending. I thought it was a really interesting conversation slash presentation from Joe, just because, you know, some things clicked into my head that hadn't clicked in before. And I started to maybe see business financing in a light that I hadn't previously, which kind of felt really obvious now, but we'll talk about where that, you know, that like mild epiphany came from here in a few minutes. But anyway, it was a fun show. What was your takeaways?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think one of the things that was enlightening is knowing that this kind of stuff was out there in the past, but it was ambiguous. It was like, okay, great, it's out there somewhere. Whereas now, with Joe as someone that we can actually look to and say, okay, no, he's actually doing this. It's
yeah.
not somewhere out there. It's like, it's right here.
Yeah. So here's the trick, or here's kind of the problem from my perspective. And we've been through this, right? We're business owners. We've had to use business finance. Well, we didn't end up doing it, but like we've considered using business financing at times, right? But here's the problem that exists. Business financing is incredibly difficult for small businesses to get. It ends up looking like even more like that idea of they'll lend to the people who don't need it and not to the people who could use it to actually go and create value.
Yeah.
And so what happens is banks have become so stringent in the way that they lend that there's been this hole in the marketplace. And to your point, Rod, like a lot of people just don't know where to go.
Yep.
Myself would have been included in that. Like I had no idea where to go to get business financing other than to the bank.
Yep.
Right. And now you're going and dealing with all of the red tape that comes with the bank. So anyway, we're going to be talking specifically about kind of the private lending side of things, why it exists, and you know, kind of what we're seeing from it, some of the things we learned from Joe. And yeah, that's the plan. So maybe the starting point, Rod, we never take anything for granted on the Money Insights podcast. What is business financing?
Yeah.
And
well,
don't just say financing through a business. We need a little more than that.
We'll start there. That's our starting point at its most basic level. But the idea is in a business context, you need capital, right? And it can be for anything, right? It could be for payroll. It could be because you're buying equipment, you're building out a location, you have
marketing,
a big purchase order and you need money
order,
to help finance that.
Great example.
Right. And for a lot of businesses who start small and kind of grow from that, they are using the revenue for that, right? They get a purchase order and maybe they take 50% down or something like that. Just so now they have the capital so they can go do what they need to fulfill the order. And then they get the rest at the end. So there are things that people do without financing that could be done with financing. And I think that's the key is to maybe hopefully through this podcast. And you know, if you want to go back and check out the video with Joe, you can go to our private Facebook page and look at it there. But just to open our eyes to what can be done, right, with this idea of using financing.
Okay. So Rod, when you were talking about that, I started to think about Shark Tank.
Okay.
And how many times does people go with like a money order They're like, or like an order from a big company. They're like, hey, I've got this order, purchase order. That's what I was looking for. And even then, they're still trying to figure out where to get money. Like, it's crazy to think that you can have business waiting for you to be done, but not be able to fill it. But that's one of the common issues that exist out there, right?
Yeah.
Because again, for a bank, they might say, okay, well, that's one piece of it, but does that mean that we actually believe you're going to execute on this model?
It's
right?
a great point. Yeah. And what's funny is the shark sitting in the chair, they just often will bring it up and they just take it for granted. They'll say, well, you can just take that purchase order to the bank and they'll give you a line of credit. And for them sitting in those chairs,
that's
true. That's absolutely true. And they do it all the time. Is it true of the person standing there? And the answer is if all they know is a bank, then maybe not.
Rudd, are you saying Mark Cuban doesn't have a hard time getting financing from a bank?
I think it goes back to what you said a minute ago. The people who don't quote unquote need it, AKA someone like Mark Cuban,
could
go to any bank in the country, walk in, and they would say, how much do you need?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's not that easy for most of us bootstrappers out here, right?
Yep.
Who are starting a business from the ground. Now, to be fair, that was once Mark Cuban. So
sure.
Don't want to take anything away from. Okay. So we know what business financing is. Talk about, Rod, some of, and we're getting into this, I guess, but so just let's just hit on what are some of the challenges that we see with traditional banks that make such a need for this private lending space?
Yeah. It's been an evolution because in the good old days when it was banks were mostly like community banks and it was relationships with family, friends, people in the community. You go into the bank and it's your neighbor. You have a relationship. You can sit down with them. They understand you and what you're doing and have confidence in you as a person. And so there can be some lending. Well, those days are almost completely gone. And so the problems become relationships is number one. But then
we can't stop there, Rod.
I have
to bring it in. Okay, go first. You go first.
Yeah, well, even if you have that relationship, that person isn't the one making the decision anymore. It goes to some sort of lending committee that's going to actually make the decision. And so that individual relationship doesn't matter anymore, number one. And number two, the amounts they're willing to lend these days, et cetera. So if I'm going in, I'm like, well, I need a $100,000 loan. They don't care about me as a $100,000 loan, right? They want me to come in and say, I need $10 million. I need $50 million. And here are all the reasons why it makes sense for you to do that.
Okay. I got to go back to relationships for a second, because this reminds me of something my grandpa told me. My grandpa was a prolific real estate investor.
Yeah.
He did really well. He was an agent and an investor. He was an entrepreneur. He started a grocery store, sold it, and then got into real estate. And this was the advice he gave me. And this is really funny because this was 20 years ago. It ended up not being true at all, by the way. But here's what he said. He said, if you have $100,000 in the bank, banks will lend you anything you want. He's like, you can get a loan anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, Rod, I got that $100,000 in the bank account, and guess who would not loan any money to me? The banks.
Right.
My point, though, is to suggest that what you suggested is that relationships were once one of the primary driving force. That is not the case, and probably for the best. Like, let's be real. Like it's kind of funny because they think about it and they're like, hey, it's nice to have handshake deals, but like, banks go down when they don't have analytics. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So for us as investors, like, it is nice to be able to go have those close relationships. One, to your point, it's not even true anymore. It doesn't really exist to the extent that it did. Like, there are some. I remember years ago, Rod, the Jazz had, they were trying to re-sign, or they're trying to sign Paul Millsap. But the Blazers had put in a poison pill offer. That's right, poison pill offer.
This.
And it was for like $12 million, and they had to come up with it immediately. And this was really funny because I think about it now and the amount of revenue that these teams are bringing in. Like, $12 million is like a tiny, tiny bit now. Mm-hmm. But they had to come up with this. And I remember they had to go to the local bank And luckily, I think it was Zions was able to come through and they were able to keep Paul Millsap. Well, okay. So the Utah Jazz can probably get away with some relationship banking.
Mm-hmm.
Not so sure that most of us can. Now, if you've got enough money, that might work. But for the most part, like, they're relying on analytics and especially the banks, right? The big banks, they're just not playing by the same rules. Now they want to look at totally different. And by the way, if you're a business owner and if you don't have a long history as a business owner, then it becomes even more challenging, more problematic.
Yeah.
Anyway, so those are my couple of tangents as you were talking about, like, the kind of former value or not value focus on relationships that's maneuvered over time.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's happening out there.
Yeah. And it's been, the analytics is absolutely part of it. Part of it is regulation.
Absolutely.
What kind of things the banks have to adhere to when they are making loans.
And again, why are regulations? I sound like a compliance officer or something. And I'm like the risky one of the two of us, but I'm also trying to look at both sides of this. And I'm like, sure. Okay, regulation, yes, but like, let's not pretend regulation's all bad, right?
Right.
Regulation has value and oftentimes it comes into play because of messes that took place. Now, over-regulation, that's where it becomes problematic. And right. And here, I think the problem is that the majority of small business owners the majority of businesses out there, the majority of people who need financing are small business owners.
Yes.
So they're working in this space that the bank is like walking away from. So then now there's, you know, the gap that just isn't being filled or hasn't been being filled. That's where we're seeing people like Joe Camberato and his team and other private lenders who said, hey, there's a need for this. We've got to step up and do something because the banks aren't.
Yeah. And there's another element to it as well, that when you go try to get a loan from a bank, it's a much lengthier process. So what happens is these small business owners who all they know is the bank to go to, it takes a long time before they even find out that it's not going to happen. And now all of a sudden, whatever it was they needed it for, the project, the big hire, Paul Millsap, whatever, it's...
The poison pill offer
is gone.
It's been too much.
It's gone.
It's too much.
Yeah. So...
PSAP's out the door.
Yep. And so big opportunity cost lost when... If that's the only thing you know and that's what you're relying on and then all of a sudden it just doesn't come through.
Okay. Okay. I totally agree. Those are great points. So let's get into this now, the emergence of private lenders, right? So we've seen this issue that's come about like that. And by the way, this is funny because for us, this is maybe relatively new. Like to your point, we're speaking, you know, just very open and honestly, like we were less familiar with this space than we probably should be.
Mm-hmm.
So we're learning some of these things in real time, but the private lending space has been like this gap has been widening for some time. And it at least seems to be at a place where it might be being filled in somewhat. Now, the challenge is, you know, how do we know what a good private lender is? And like, mm-hmm. there's all these, and we'll get into that here in a few minutes, but talk about, you know, what comes to your mind when we're thinking of the emergence of private lenders?
Yeah, well, it's when there is a gap in a capitalistic society and there are solutions that can kind of come in and fill that in, then that's where this comes from. So in other words, mm-hmm. what we found out again yesterday is that because banks don't want to mess with the small guys,
mm-hmm.
but there are a lot of small guys out there that if they can get access to the financing can make a big difference, right? In their community and in their, obviously their family, whatever, their business. And so private lenders come in and they fill that gap, right? And that's really, yep. To me, that's really the big thing.
Well, and it's no different than private equity, right? There's a situation that you're really getting to a place where only like the quote unquote elite have access to the best types of banking. Similar to the other side, the traditional investment world, where only the wealthiest people were having access to these higher end investment funds, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what's happened, though, we've seen is this emergence of private equity. That's what we see in the real estate syndication space, right? Yep. All these people have come in and said, like, hey, we can work together to produce great returns and get a lot of the same types of returns and benefits that the big guys are getting, the higher end investors. The same thing is happening here. It's just obviously a reverse concept where it's about lending money instead of purchasing something to get a return. But at the end of the day, there's a reason we're trying to get money, right? As a business owner, I'm trying to get money so that I can then put that money to work and get the ROI. So again, it's really simple. It's like private equity, just in reverse. So let's talk maybe a little bit more about some of the reasons or trends in more detail. Why does this place exist, and kind of what is it doing for us in general? That's our next question.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think maybe the first place to talk about is we talk about all these problems with banks, right? So they're not willing to lend at those levels. Okay, great. So you have now private lenders who have maybe more expertise, more niche types of loans that they're wanting to make, because that's the space that they know. So what someone like Joe is doing is he has relationships with a bunch of different private lenders. So then when you know, whatever, someone who's in the industrial space comes to him and they're looking for a loan, and he knows several lenders that specialize in that type of loan, that he's connecting them with that, right? So it's, and by extension, then the whole kind of relationship thing comes about, because as that person is able to find solutions and get the financing that they need, and then later on have additional needs, well, guess where they're going to go, right? And so over time, you get to have these relationships that, again, can they exist at the bank? Well, they can if you were able to get the first loan. If you were the Mark Cuban, or again, we're using Mark Cuban, but it could be anyone whose business is large enough that now the banks care. You can get to that level. Well, now you're getting to that level for the smaller businesses. They have an opportunity to do that.
So, Rod, that's really one of the primary differences that we're seeing now with this private lending. We actually get an opportunity to go back into the place where relationships matter, because size matters, right? Yep. On both sides. Well, banks become so large that there's just too much red tape, there's too much regulation, all the things we talked about, that even if you have a personal relationship with people, you know, they're not going to be the people up in the chain that are making the ultimate decision. Yep. So therefore, they're really just facilitators of applications and things like that, right? Whereas you could change things. You could actually go to a company like National Business Capital, Joe's Group, and fill that gap. You could actually get that need taken care of. So again, and have a real relationship with somebody that's not making the decision by themselves, right? But there's less people who are having to kind of work together to make that decision. And by doing that, you're getting a more personalized approach. Like, suddenly they might be willing to look at your individual situation in more detail.
Yes. Yeah. Which leads to faster approval times. He gave examples of them. It's not being unusual for them to turn around in 5 to 15 business days. Whereas,
yeah, and that's crazy.
Yeah, the bank,
it's crazy, it's when 30 you consider to 90 the difference. Days.
Yeah.
Oh man, and if you're good at getting them stuff, right? Like,
yes,
if you're really on top of it, you can get a reasonably fast approval would be like 30 to 45 days, but I think more typically it would be longer than that, just on average. I'd be interested to hear from, you know, somebody that's processing applications. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, Rod, is not only less processing, but then how many of those just get denied altogether, right? Just thrown out.
Yep.
Anyway,
yep, exactly. So faster approval times, but also more flexible terms. And what that, where that comes in is they're looking at the specific need. So in other words, if you're going to a bank again, and you're just begging them, hey, fit me in, just look at my application and fit me in somewhere. Well, they're fitting you into their programs, whatever terms, whatever offers that they have that they've already built. Does your application fit whatever we're doing? Whereas on the private lending side, they're able to build it around what you're looking for, right? So the terms of the loan are a little more specific to what you're doing. You know, one of the questions that was asked by one of the listeners kind of brought this out, right? They're saying, hey, here are my specific situation. And so is there something we can talk about? And really Joe's response was, yeah, we can create this as a starting point. I think in this example, it was, we'll start with a $50,000 line of credit. And then we can grow from there. We can grow into these other things that you need. But the point was, it's now built around the individual and what they're needing. And so the terms,
the customization is suddenly in place. That's really useful for people who don't fit in like the regular box, right? Like in this situation, this person was worried because they don't have the cash flow to just naturally walk up to a bank or a private lender and say, hey, this is what my cash flow looks like. What will you give me? Mm-hmm. It was a little bit more unique. It was like, you know, flipping houses, selling, you know, and then they were getting the profit on the back end. So then it's like, okay, that looks a lot different than saying, hey, I've had this business for 7 years and our cash flow is 1.2 million. You know what I mean? Yeah. Suddenly things, you know, look totally different. And it's nice to be able to go to a place that can actually have a conversation and just sit, not have to just say like, oh, we don't have a program that fits you.
Yep. Okay. So now this is now where I'm going to ping you. You had an epiphany and we all want to hear about it.
I did have an epiphany. This is kind of silly, Rod. So we're talking yesterday and Joe brings out a success story, an example, right? And the success story was a land developer who was showing their business model. And he's got this big chunk of land out there and it's showing it being divided up. And obviously this person is just developing land. They're real estate investors. Now, they're professional real estate investors. And that was the difference. So now in my head, I'm thinking, well, how often, Rod, do we talk about from a tax benefit standpoint, we're like, if you treat your business, you treat your real estate investing like a business, you can create these tax benefits. Well, similarly, all of a sudden I was like, oh, if you treat your real estate investing like a business, you can also access business financing. And again, maybe you're listening to this and you're like, well, duh, Christian. but I just had a moment where I'm like, I hadn't really thought to go to like a business, like a lender like that to get, you know, the kind of financing to do that kind of a deal. But again, if you're a professional investor, you have your processes in place and you can show your numbers and a track record of success, like that could be a really great opportunity, a really great place to go access financing.
I think I have a feeling that there are probably people out there who are grateful for your epiphany. And here's the reason why. We do a lot of these VIP webinars and they're different topics. We try to make a variety. Well, relatively speaking, we had fewer people sign up and show up for yesterday's webinar because it was billed as business related, business financing. If you're a business owner or whatever, you should check this out. And the average real estate investor out there didn't put themselves in that camp. And by the way, neither did we, right? Just in our messaging as we were pumping up the, you know, and inviting people to come join us. So my guess is, and my hope is that by just that shift in the focus or maybe that just that epiphany, that more people will look at that and say, oh, that actually does fit me because I fit in that category. I'm a real estate investor and I treat it as a business. Oh, therefore I fit into that.
So you're saying, Rod, that there was a lot of self-disqualification potentially happening. I think that's absolutely true. Because you're right. Not everybody are typical. Like, let's just say we have obviously, this is a really typical client for us. We might have a physician, a surgeon who is also very good in their investing side, but they're doctors. That's what they think they are due first, and real estate investors. Well, that person may listen to this because they're thinking, you know, general finance, that kind of thing. But that may have just not been attracted to them. So
yeah.
I think it's a good point. Hopefully there's some other people who had that realization. If that's you, go check out the webinar. It was really good. Like, again, it was really simple and yet powerful, because if you're someone that's been looking for places to get capital and just didn't even know, Rod, I had the same realization for our own business. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, like, we're really fortunate to be in a high cash flow business, mm-hmm. that's, you know, and be in a comfortable cash position. But as I'm looking at it, I'm like, we teach people the value of leverage and the, you know, conservative leverage, doing it right. But that same principle applies, and maybe as much as anywhere, inside your business. So we talk mm-hmm. about it as relating to, like, you know, using the investment optimizer as a strategy to access capital for our business. But a really great way to do that might just be to grab capital from like a private lender, even if it's just for a rainy day, even if it's just for opportunities that could come up in the future. That's what started to come up in my head. Or even if you have the capital completely available to you, you could use your own, but it just could make more sense to use somebody else's, right? Like, that's the value of leverage. We always talk about that being the most powerful wealth building tool that we have. Yep. The same thing applies in the business space. Joe kind of emphasized the focus is borrowing money to create value, to create yep. a return, to create whatever it is that I'm building. And by building, right, I'm creating wealth. So that's literally what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that I liked too, and you kind of hit on it just now, even if it's just for kind of that rainy day or whatever, well, we kind of started this out by talking about how lenders aren't as open to lending to people who really need it, let's say desperate yes. for it, as opposed to somebody who is in a comfortable position and they say, oh yeah, we're willing to put a line of credit out there for you. Go get the line of credit while you're comfortable, because when things are tough,
won't give it to you then, right? It reminds me of the idea of, like, the 15-year mortgage. I know this is going to be like, I'm going to bring it together here, but like 15-year versus 30-year mortgages, right? We oftentimes talk about like, I could pay all of that down, but then what happens if I'm in a pinch, right? Mm-hmm. Suddenly mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I wish I had that extra cash that I threw into my house. Well, similarly here, I could be in that kind of situation where maybe I get to a situation where I do need the money, but now I'm not in a place where I can get it. Or now I have a great opportunity, but because things aren't as strong as they were in the past. So to your point, I really like that idea of taking advantage of the idea of business financing. Even if you don't need it, get access to it. And now that doesn't mean that you go and pay massive interest. Like, I'm talking about a line of credit in this yeah. kind of situation, right? Yeah. I'm not suggesting someone go get, you know, a 12% loan to just sit there, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But if I can go get access to, you know, a significant amount of capital while my business is flush and doing well, like, it just makes so much more sense, because that principle, hugely important. And it's kind of sad when you see businesses or people who have had, you know, this really great track record, they're doing it right, and then suddenly that time comes where they actually need it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that they have a history of doing things right. You know
yep.
what I mean?
Yep.
Okay, Rod, I want to finish off by talking maybe about some of the considerations or just some basic risks associated with it, because
yeah.
we don't want to pretend that, hey, now there's places that go that will give me capital that aren't banks. So I'm just going to run to any and everybody who does that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, last thing we want is to suddenly be, you know, paying, you know, 30% interest rates from a payday loan place.
Right.
Now, that's not really our listeners, so I'm not actually worried about that. But what are some of the maybe risks associated with, or some of the things we need to be thinking about considering when we're moving into that, you know, business financing space, specifically from private lenders?
Yeah. So in the same way that you do your due diligence when you're going to invest in something, in this case, you do your due diligence on the lender, right? And again, that may just be too obvious, but I think it is very important to always approach it that way, because when you get into those loan docs and you're looking at the different pieces and the different triggers that could do different things, you need to make sure that you're understanding that, and or aligning yourself with someone who can help you understand that. So in this case, again, we've talked a lot about Joe, but I'm using him as an example because he's basically a broker, right? Mm-hmm. He's helping you find the lender. And then as you're taking in the offer or whatever you've negotiated or need to negotiate, he can help you do that because that's what he does every day, right? So in other words, it's kind of like
that's a good point.
Having a realtor help you understand the docs on the loan purchase, or sorry, on the home purchase. Similarly, he's kind of like that person that understands what's going on and is helping you to negotiate what you want so that you can really, number one, get what you need, but also not put yourself at risk in doing it.
I think the thing to remember is that less regulation means more due diligence, right? We're basically trading some of that red tape for some of the security that comes with regulations at a bank that's happening at, you know, the federal level, right? Mm-hmm. So when that goes away, that means that there is naturally going to be, it's a little bit more of the Wild West, right? Mm-hmm. Which again, means that we have to be looking for things like tracker. It means that we don't want to be focused on branding, right? And this came to my mind because this is the same on the investment side. We live in this, obviously, this incredible digital space, this digital world where you can make it look like you've got an incredible business relatively easily, mm-hmm. right? If you put an awesome website together, throw some stuff online, and suddenly that's not enough. I guess that's why I'm saying that. Like, it has to be a higher level of that. Again, because we don't have this body that comes, like the banking system does, we're taking on at least some of that response. Now it's not, I'm certain there is some regulation that exists there.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
It's just not to the level that you have inside the banking world, which means, you know, there's just more opportunity for things to go wrong. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that really is the primary thing to be aware of going in. Don't just view it as free money and you can just use it for whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
You're going in with a real proposal. They're viewing that and then you're coming to something together. But again, make sure you're working with someone that knows what they're doing.
I don't know on this, but I would guess that it's also common to potentially have higher interest rates that you're paying in that space, because again, banks obviously have these massive pools of money that they can lend. A private lender is likely going to have less, and therefore the value of the dollar is more. I could be wrong, like this is just me speculating, but I think it's probably fair to assume that it's not unlikely to expect, at least if you don't fit into the box that the bank puts you in, mm-hmm. that I'm going to go into that other space, like I'm probably going to pay higher interest rates. But again, the question then becomes ROI, right? I'm not suggesting that paying a higher interest rate is never a good thing. If it's the difference between getting access to capital for expansion and producing a 300% return versus, you know, not obviously, or versus paying, you know, 3 or 4 more percent on a loan, well, it's still a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
So it's all about accessing capital, knowing why you're accessing that capital, and making the strategic decisions to, you know, do something to create a return so that it's worthwhile. And obviously the same thing applies whether it's coming from the bank or anywhere else, but you might just have to be considering that even more when you're thinking about, okay, well, banking rates are here, maybe I'm getting access to it here. Is it worth it? Does it make sense?
Yeah, great
point.
That's
the way to think about it. Okay, Rod, any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up? Any final advice for our listeners?
Just if you're intrigued by this and you want to hear a little bit more about this interview that we talked about, then just go to our private Facebook page, check it out, and I think you'll be interested.
Okay, so and the Facebook group is Investment Strategies for High Income Earners. So if you're not a member of the Facebook group, become one. If you're someone that doesn't use Facebook and you want access to it, email Rod or Christian at moneyinsightsgroup.com and we'll be happy to make sure it gets sent out to you. Yeah. Okay, Rod, this has been fun. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Money Insights Podcast. To learn more about the financial and business strategies discussed in this show, please visit moneyinsights.net. The views and opinions expressed on the Money Insights Podcast are not intended to be individual financial, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with the appropriate advisor before making financial decisions. And if you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. This will help others find the show and learn wealth-building strategies for themselves. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.